In my college biology class, I had a last-minute study approach. Just before an exam was being passed out, I would have in front of me a fact sheet of items that might show up on the test. And as soon as the exam reached my row and I had to put away any study materials, I would hold one final fact in my head. And as soon as the test reached me, I would quickly write down that fact on the back of the exam before I'd even looked at the exam questions. I did this because I knew that that final fact that I'd studied was only going to stay in my head for a few seconds before it fell out. So I had to get it down on paper as soon as possible. On at least one occasion, having that biology fact available to me assured me at least one correct answer. And my quirky last-minute study technique was tailor-made to suit the imminent arrival of my biology exam. It would not have worked if I had been anticipating the exam even 10 minutes later, let alone 10 days or 10 weeks later. Today is the first day of Advent, a season that is about preparing for the arrival of Jesus. Yes, that means preparing ourselves as individuals and as a community for the arrival, for the annual celebration of Christ's birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But it's also about preparing for the return of Jesus sometime in the future. But here's the problem. We don't know when he's coming back. No one does. In fact, Jesus says in today's gospel reading, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So if even Jesus himself doesn't know the hour, what are we to do? We can't scribble down something about mitochondria on a sheet of paper like I used to in college, because that kind of hypervigilance only works if Jesus is going to show up almost immediately, like my exams did. So how are we to be ready if we don't know when Jesus is returning? Because Jesus is very clear that we are to be ready. He says this morning, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Jesus may not specify how we are to be ready in today's gospel reading, but the other Bible readings given to us on this first Sunday in Advent do describe how the people of God are to act in anticipation of and in the presence of God's kingdom. The first one, we can probably imagine, we are instructed to live a morally upright life. St. Paul tells the Christians of Rome in this morning's epistle reading, "Let us then lay aside the works of darkness. Let us live honorably." In other words, live according to the teachings and example of Jesus, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So this is the first way to be ready for the arrival of Christ. Live moral lives. The second way we can be ready is to worship and pray to God. Psalm 122, which we sang this morning, says, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Worship and prayer are important both because they remind us whose we are, and they can remind us of what truly matters in this life, but also because worship and prayer can help us do that first thing we mentioned this morning, living moral lives. Today's passage from the prophet Isaiah makes that connection explicitly when Isaiah says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." Also, in both our Old Testament passages this morning, peace is central, both praying for it and working for it. The psalm says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." And Isaiah gives us the prophecy of peace, where the peoples shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Worship and pray, especially for peace, and lead morally upright lives. These are the specific ways we've heard of today to prepare for the day of the Lord from every Bible passage we read other than the gospel. In Jesus' words to us this morning from chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us to be ready. He even gives us historical examples and parables about being ready. But he still doesn't tell us how to be ready. Luckily, Matthew's Gospel doesn't end with the final verse we heard this morning. Immediately following this morning's passage, Jesus gives us two more parables about how important it is to be ready. He really wants us to be ready, but he still doesn't say how we are to do that. And then finally, he arrives at the parable of the talents, where the landowner commends his servant who has invested the money he gave him and condemns another servant who has simply buried the coins in order to protect them. In this parable, Jesus is telling us to invest in the future. There may be something ironic in this. We prepare for the end of days by working as though our days will never end. If we all truly believe that Jesus would come back tomorrow and rapture us all up to heaven, we certainly wouldn't bother improving our schools or drinking water. And yet, when Jesus finally transitions from telling us to be ready to telling us how to be ready, that's what he tells us to do. Invest your talents, meaning in this case, both your money and your skills. As if we intend for our communities to stretch deep into the future. I suspect part of this may be because, as Jesus himself tells us this morning, he doesn't know when he'll return. But perhaps another reason why he wants us to invest in the future is because it deepens our compassion. And compassion is a universal and timeless blessing, whether Jesus comes back in the year 2017 or 217. Following the parable of the talents, Jesus tells us that those who care for the least of his family are blessed. He says to them, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." By placing these parables side by side, the gospel tells us that even better than teaching one student is working to build up an educational system that will teach hundreds or thousands of students. Even better than handing a thirsty person a cup of water, as good as that is working to build a delivery system that will bring clean water to countless thirsty people. We do not know when we will see Jesus. But until that day, we live morally, we worship God, and we pray for peace. And Jesus tells us we are to work for and invest in a kinder, more compassionate, more just society, so that when Jesus returns, he will find us hard at work. Some of you may have seen the bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." In truth, it should read, "Jesus is coming, be busy," even if he's still going to be a while.